This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Hey guys, quick thing. The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only question left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. We've got the latest Arsenal team news, plus latest on some potential contract stories. Bayern Munich's up tomorrow, which means I've got an open training session to attend at the La Sober Realty Training Centre this afternoon before Mikel Arteta faces the press ahead of what is a massive week in the club season. This is the Arsenal News Show. Hello and welcome to the Gooner Talk. Back again with you guys for another episode of what is the Arsenal News Show. Join you every single morning at 8 a.m. UK time. Thank you so much, as always, for joining me and making this a part of your morning routines. It is incredibly appreciated. I hope you've had a fantastic week so far and that you are enjoying the nice weather that we're getting here in the UK. If you're in the UK, of course, maybe you're elsewhere in the world. But at the moment, we've had some pretty good weather, although I think it's about to chuck it down this afternoon. I wake up in the morning and it's bright sunshine, and then for some reason it just goes all wrong. Yesterday I had a barbecue go over in the garden. It starts so well and ends so annoyingly. I think there's some parallels that I'm too worried to draw too many direct comparisons to. But good morning to those joining. Thank you so much for doing so. And those listening on Catch Up as well, on audio platforms, or of course on YouTube Catch Up as well. Thank you for joining me. Martin, Global, good morning. Alvamod, MD, Graham, Martin, Steve. We've got, who else have we got in here? Graham, KY, or Kai. Martin, Red Star. We've got Just John. We've got Steve. We've got Evie, Assad. We've got Mars Cannon. By the way, all of these people are, all these comments are from like 8 o'clock because my laptop decides to do a whole entire restart. So I lost all of the comments prior to like 8 a.m. But thank you to everyone that's tuned in. You are incredibly appreciated. Thank you for those that tuned in yesterday and dropped a like on the video. I know that yesterday's show was never going to be the most popular. You know, when we talk about Arsenal losing, some people want to escape. And I absolutely do not. I don't worry. I really, really encourage people to take breaks from Arsenal when they need it. And certainly, I think after Sunday's result, people needed those breaks. We still managed to reach 1,000 likes, which is an amazing achievement, considering, of course, the fact that maybe some people... I heard a couple of people actually message me saying, hey, Tom, I couldn't watch yesterday's show because I was just taking a break from it, but I did dip in just to drop a like on the video, which was very kind indeed. Let's jump to today's stories, though. Yesterday, we did a phone-in show. 2.5 hours of phone-in. It's only available on YouTube. It's not available on audio platforms. So if you want to watch /listen back, it is a YouTube exclusive. So make sure you go and find it on the YouTube channel if you would like to go back and catch up to it. But yeah, 2.5 hours of fans listening to different views, really a spectrum of perspectives, and it was a good conversation. So certainly catch up on that if you haven't done so already. If you've got maybe you're working or something and you want something to put on in the background, that was certainly a good one to have on. Now, the under-21 sadly lost on Monday night. Yuri and Timber not involved. Again, it seems that this comeback continues to be in the offing, but not yet realised. They lost 5-3 to Aston Villa. I think they were 3-1 down at half-time, 2 goals for each side in the second half, led it to end 5-3 to Villa. Ethan Nwaneri got on the score sheet twice. More encouragement from him and his talent and what he's capable of. And yeah, it kind of just does, I think, raise questions a little bit about when we might see Jurrien Timber, because he's still not getting that youth game back unless he's somehow going to be entering the fray on the senior side quicker than we thought. However, at the weekend, I didn't talk about this in yesterday's show because it was a show dedicated specifically to the Aston Villa game, but Arsenal beat Bristol City, Jonas Eidevall's side, with goals, two goals from Beth Mead, two goals from Alessia Russo as well, in a 5-0 win. Keeps the title hopes alive somewhat. They're kind of hanging on by a thread. Chelsea dropping points, Manchester City not. It's obviously going to be very difficult, I think, for Arsenal to win the WSL, but there's always a chance that we might yet see that if we've got to hope, just like with the men's side as well, that some other teams slip up on the way to a potential WSL title. Now, Ian Wright has come out quite staunchly in criticism of those supporters that left the grounds early on Sunday. We talked about this yesterday as well in yesterday morning show. I know it's a topic that splits fan opinion. I'm very much, I think, in agreement somewhat with Ian Wright. He said, you know something, I've got to say something about the fans. When we look back at that great Manchester United team, the one thing they had was Fergie time. The fans genuinely got behind them and got them through it. And when you look at the amount of Arsenal fans that left the Emirates, that can be very demoralising. For the last two seasons, it's only been progression for this team. They didn't lose against Bayern. Remember what Bayern did to us before. And they came back in that game. And this time, these players need the fans to stay with it. So for them to leave like they did, it was really sad to see. Because then you're thinking, they genuinely believe that's it. I was really disappointed to see that. And I don't blame him for being frustrated. I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated that I sat there when we conceded the first goal. Not the second goal, which was very soon after. But as soon as we conceded that first goal, the hundreds, thousands of supporters that just got up and just started to leave. And it's just such a frustration that that happens, because there's such a expectation on this Arsenal side to succeed, and that if they don't win the league, it's a massive, massive disappointment. And yet we're not willing in our entirety, in our collective support, to stay and support and respond. I remember last season when Saliba scored that own goal right at the start of the season against Leicester. And when he scored that own goal, the roar, the response, the cheer that the Arsenal team got to just turn it around. It's really frustrating. Very, very frustrating indeed. And I think Wright's words hold weight and hold truth. And I hope that the fans respond in the next game. If we go, you know, if we've got really important games still. We've got three more home games between now and the end of the season in the league. We've got Bournemouth at home. We've got Chelsea at home before that. And then we've got Everton at home on the final day of the season. If it goes to the last game and say we go 1-0 down and we're still in the race, I really hope that fans stick around and fans really get behind the team, because we need that. We need that support. It's a real shame when fans leave early. And by the way, just quickly before I go on to the next one, I know there's people that have opinions that, like, people pay their money, they're entitled to do what they want. I respect that view. I don't agree with it necessarily, in the sense of that means they should just up and leave whenever they want. I think that there is an encouragement to stay. I really think there should be an encouragement to stay. I get the frustration around being told what to do. Some people don't like it. Some people want to have the right to leave, but I'd encourage you really to stay. And if you're not willing to, if you're not willing to be the person that, when we go 1-0 down in the 80th minute, is going to leave on 10 minutes, I'd rather you gave your ticket to someone else. I really would. Someone who is going to stand. Someone that is going to stay. Someone that is going to scream their lungs out. Because that's what I'd rather than someone that leaves 10 minutes before the end of the performance. Granit Xhaka won the league, of course, at the weekend with Bayer Leverkusen in an unbelievable season display. Bayer Leverkusen have been absolutely fantastic. But he was asked, actually, about Arsenal. And he says, they lost 2-0 to Aston Villa, but still very close is everything. They know I'm still in contact with many teammates with the club, and I wish them luck, and hopefully they can do it this year, because last year was very close. Hopefully they can do it this year. So the team has the support of Granit Xhaka, who's sending a very kind message, and a very big congratulations to Granit for just what an achievement Bayer Leverkusen have done. Yes, I'd wish that we had Man City having a season like Bayern Munich have had to some degree, but still to do it unbeaten, to do it in the way they've done it, is an unbelievable piece of work. And my goodness me, the fans, I've seen so many fans that used to batter Granit Xhaka all of a sudden coming around and now saying that it was a mistake to sell him. I guess full circles do exist. Now, Zinchenko, of course, has been and come in for plenty of scrutiny in the last week. But James McNicholas of The Athletic has been speaking about his future and said that at the moment there are no current talks ongoing about a potential deal with 2 years remaining on Zinchenko's contract. That does tend to be the threshold of when Arsenal make decisions on players. And at the moment, I've heard nothing on this, but James has got very, very good connections indeed and very well spoken on the topic, is that, yeah, there's not suggestions that he is in talks with the club over a new deal at this moment in time. What that means for the future, we don't know. But there's also suggestions, and we know this and we've spoken about this, is that Arsenal are interested in signing a fullback still. A left-back is said to still be on the cards, even with Yuri and Timber, of course, because he can play so in so many different positions. That a left-back is still said to be on the list of potential signings for the summer. So could that mean that Zinchenko moves on from Arsenal in the summer? We'll have to wait and see. I think he's a good player. I don't agree with the abuse that he's got. I think he's had some really good games this season, and some recency bias has certainly flipped the script somewhat. But he was poor against Aston Villa and should have been taken off earlier. And that's on Arteta more than it is Zinchenko to make that call. He should have been brought off, and we said this, and we've been saying this the last couple of days, he should have been brought off sooner and wasn't. And that's on Arteta more than it is Zinchenko. Now, open training will reveal the latest insight into the squad. I'm going to be heading off to the Sherba Realty Training Centre a little bit later on this morning to give you an insight into what is going on at the training ground. Of course, we only get a glimpse of the start of the training session. And a look into who has started the training session. So if Ødegaard is indeed there, you'll be first to know. If you're following my Twitter account at Tom Cantor Media, I'll be making sure to inform you all from there as to who is and who isn't present at the training ground around 11 o'clock UK time this morning. So do look out for that. Ødegaard is the one that is obviously the biggest one in question, potentially. Everybody else still very much we expect to be ready and fit and available, but Ødegaard, of course, who didn't manage to finish the Sunday game and came off with what Arteta said it was a leg issue, and then of course he had that kick to the chest as well. Hopefully he's going to be fine, but you'll know far more than I will. You'll know exactly what I will come around just after 11 o'clock this morning. And lastly, of course, with it being the day before the game, Mikel Arteta will face the press ahead of the game against Bayern Munich. The press conference is later tonight at the Allianz Arena. It was a later press conference in the evening, so around 6, 7 o'clock, I think, UK time. We'll hear the latest from Arteta in terms of team news, so you make sure that you are across that. We'll have a press conference blog on football.london, and then tomorrow morning we'll, of course, break down everything that Arteta speaks about in that press conference as well. So make sure you subscribe with those notifications turned on so you don't miss any content. Right, let's go to part two and your questions right after this.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. And the same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with Mook Delivery. Are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Okay, part two. Shall we jump into the chat box and tackle some of your questions? Clive's asking for Gutierrez as left-back, the Real Madrid loanee that's currently at Girona, and says, Tom, you can say I was right. Print screen that, please. I love that you called it screen print. screen print it. I'll screen print it, Clive. I will. I'll screen print it, mate. Matt G says, Tom, can you please talk about Chelsea players fighting over who was going to take the penalty? I don't really want to talk about Chelsea. They won really, really well. And Cole Palmer is a really big threat. What a player he's turning out to be. And it's very frustrating to see that they managed to get him. Of all the money they spent, of all the huge deals they've invested in that have just flopped, you know, that just have not been good. Like Caicedo, for instance, of course, and Kunku's not been able to do it because he's had so many injuries. You think about some of the signs they've made, it's so frustrating to see that one of them has actually paid off in such a huge way. But it just still shows that petulance. It still shows that fractured nature in that Chelsea squad. Hopefully, it kind of feeds into the game when they come to the Emirates. You know, just over a, well, actually in a week's time, just over they will be at Arsenal next week. Rich says, Tom, just curious about this one. You pronounce Doman like judo and not like down. I don't know what you mean. Does this come from the club? Is it Dowman, I guess, rather than Doman. I love that you use judo and down as different ways to pronounce it. I don't know. It could be Dowman. It could be Doman. I don't know. Maybe it's Dowman. I don't have any specific insight in the pronunciation of Max's name. So I'm just presuming until I get told otherwise, which is what I usually do. Asad says, hey, Tom, if you can, please give my daughter a quick shout. Her name is Alicia, and she's a massive Bukayo Saka fan. Alicia. Massive shout out to you, and I hope that Saka can bring it home between now and the end of the season. And Clive says he's old and he needs help with this. And Robert says, Clive, don't us oldens miss that teletext. Hey, even at 29, I used to have to use teletext back in the day on a Saturday. Don't you worry. Still very much was something back when I was a kid that I was still using as well. Abby says, print screen was a verb that was on a keyboard. Screen print is a noun. It sounds better. I mean, Clive's starting a new trend here. Ragamon says, Arteta is the reason that we lost to Villa. He's the reason we bottled last season and the top four the season before. He's inexperienced. He's revamped the club, but it's time to bring in a winner of a manager. I wish that Ragamon was on the phone-in show yesterday, because whilst I don't agree, and I think that's a wild opinion, it would have been great to see Ragamon come on the show, because we had a few people that were questioning the manager, that wanted to change the manager. I don't necessarily think that the opinion stacked up or kind of held too much weight. The solutions that they had didn't really work. But it's always funny, people talk about like the bottling of the top four or the bottling of the league, when ironically no one expected either of those two things to happen in those seasons. Everyone was thinking, well, Arsenal in 22-23, in 21-22, were looking to be a side that just got back into Europe. They ended up challenging for the top four, despite no one thinking that they would, and they just missed out on it. In 22-23, no one thought that they would compete for the title. They thought they would just be aiming for top four. They did that comfortably and overachieved, yet it was called a bottling. And then this season, of course, the expectation has been to be a better title challenger. From my perspective, I can't expect Arsenal to win the league because Manchester City exist. It's as simple as that. We can hope that we can try and oust them and overachieve in that sense. But it was always about being a better title challenger. And we certainly have done that this season as well. And we are closer than we were this time last year. So it's strange how people with different points of views. It's just lenses, isn't it? It's just ways people of different lenses view different things in different ways. I think it's mad to think Arteta should go. Absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. We've lost one game in the league in 2024, and that's what ultimately can cost you a title, and that's what will separate it. But they never have a solution. You know, we had obviously Ghost Bella come on the show yesterday and talk about Inzaghi and saying we should sign Inzaghi because he's got a winning mentality. And yet, when you ask somebody who they want and why they want them, it just kind of falls apart at that point. Saying a winning mentality. If you don't think Arteta's not got a winning mentality, I don't know what to tell you. I don't think you've been watching closely enough if you don't think Arteta's got a winning mentality. Kristen says, player for player, I believe that we have a better team than Leverkusen. Is Alonso the reason why they have not bottled a game all season? They're in a different league, Tristan, playing in different competitions to us. Obviously, it's a different challenge. They still have beaten some very big teams, like Bayern Munich, for instance. They won very comfortably against 3-0, I think it was at the time. Bayern haven't been the side, of course, that they have been in recent seasons, but he's been a very good manager for them, Tristan. You can't say that he's not. He's done brilliant things. They play a very different style to Arsenal. They play with those fullbacks, those wingbacks, in Grimaldo and Frimpong. They haven't really suffered too much in terms of injury issues all through the campaign. Their key players have stayed fit the entire time, pretty much. And that's been a big, big boost to them also. So sometimes things just have to fall into place. And for Bayer Leverkusen, they have fallen into place very well. And they've built on the foundation and they've really done a brilliant, brilliant job. Andrew says, it's not Arteta's fault that we didn't win. I think that to a degree it is. I'm going to read this point again because actually I think they raise a good point. It's not Arteta's fault we didn't win, but it's his that we lost. The changes were terrible and the game plan didn't make sense. He should defend the second and bring in the players for that. I think question marks about the lineup from the start don't necessarily hold too much weight because the first half performance was good. All it was lacking was a finish. And so Arteta set us up to win that game. The problem was that Arteta didn't react in the second half effectively enough. And for that reason, we ended up not getting the result that we wanted. And that definitely falls, without a doubt, the reason why we lost falls back on Arteta more than anyone else yet on Sunday. He didn't make the correct changes. And that second half was not good enough. But suggestions that the lineup was wrong or that he changed too much with the lineup just doesn't work because the first half performance was good. The tactics were good. We got in behind so many times. We created so many chances. We should have been clear by half time, and we wasn't. Arteta can't get the ball in the net himself, but he set the team up in the best possible way to do that on the day. They just didn't execute it. But in the second half, it falls on Arteta for not reacting and not changing and not being quick enough with certain changes in the team. And he waited too long, specifically with the Zinchenko substitution. That was a big, big error. Cal says, am I the only one who gets irritated by the term bottled? I'm even reserved to use it in a team like Spurs after last season, seeing how the players and manager go through quite uncomfortably. I had the most ridiculous comment on the video yesterday, and I will read it out because it just, I think, shows you how broad of a spectrum of views we can find. This was the comment from Ben, who is in our chat box a fair amount. But I disagree wildly with this point. It says, for those asking who we could pick up if we sacked Arteta, here are some options that have won the league titles or at least one trophy in half a decade, which, by the way, Arteta has also done that. Amorim, but he's going to go to Liverpool, we know that. Zidane, he's not coming to Arsenal. Spalletti, look at Napoli. Nagelsmann, he's going to go off to Bayern Munich, obviously already at Germany at the moment. Inzaghi, I mean, the Inzaghi ones, I don't get. We talked about that yesterday. The people that want Inzaghi can't even tell me the formation he plays. Hansi Flick, did you see Germany? And says, we can't keep challenging and improving without some result. We're damn near turning into Spurs. You know, I don't mind someone suggesting some names, but you want to compare this to Tottenham? Get real. Honestly, I struggle for words. I really struggle for words. This Arsenal team, what it's doing, how it's challenged the greatest and most competitive Premier League side in the league's history. This Premier League team of City, question marks about stuff that you know what I'm referring to. There's question marks there, absolutely. In the next 2 years, you know, will the chickens come home to roost? I guess we'll have to wait and see. But that aside, Pep Guardiola has constructed the most dominant Premier League team, I feel, in Premier League history. You could argue that Sir Alex Ferguson's Manchester United team and the Premier Leagues that he won with the Manchester United are a step above still because he's won more. But I think in the competitiveness of this Premier League in the last decade, this Pep Guardiola Manchester City team is unlike nothing we have seen before. With the resources they've had, the depth of squad they've had, the ability they've had to win a treble, Champions League, FA Cups, Premier League titles, and so in an era in which obviously Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool have existed, in Antonio Conte's Chelsea side have existed, they've still managed to be so incredibly dominant. The amount of 90-point-plus seasons they've had is a joke. You can't drop more than 5 to 6 games, really, at times. You know, you can't afford to drop more than, really, 6 to 8 games in a season. That's the record. You have to win at least 30 games, probably, to have a chance of beating this City side at times. It's mad. It's crazy. And so to suggest that this Arsenal team that are going and have beaten this Man City team this season and then drawn at the Etihad and been able to just be 2 points off it with 6 games to go, and we'll have to wait and see what happens between now and then the season, to compare that and say that we have an element of Tottenham about us is the most absent-minded and disrespectful view of this football club. I cannot fathom how you can label this anything like Tottenham Hotspur. Unbelievable. And on that point about, you know, the bottling thing, look, it's a horrible term because it really does undermine the work that goes in and the context of the league and where things are. If Man City win, it's just like, yeah, of course they did. You know, and there isn't a single person that can realistically argue at the start of the season that Man City weren't favourites for every single trophy. And that's what you're up against. So if you finish second to that and then sack a cut, or your argument is that you want to sack them because they didn't overachieve and beat the side that were favourites to win everything, it just doesn't make any sense, especially when you push them all the way. If you were miles off them and you regressed, without question, if you are regressing as a club, you need to make change. It just makes sense to make change. If you are regressing as a side, you should make changes. But Arsenal are doing anything but regressing as a team. We are continually moving forwards. We are continually improving. And we are getting closer to that ultimate goal. First season that we've been back in the Champions League. And we've got a chance to go to Germany and reach a semi-final for the first time in goodness knows how long. I think it was Man United we played in the semi-final the last time we reached the stage. And that was late noughties. Now, the first time of asking back in the Champions League, we're back in the quarterfinal with a chance of reaching the semis. You know, it's crazy to me what some people... And I actually can't pinpoint necessarily what it is, because there is a spectrum of ages. I see young fans having these views. I see older fans having these views. I see middle-aged people having these views. So I don't think it's necessarily we can pinpoint, oh, it's a young generation coming in that never experienced the hardships, or it's the older generation that had experience of more golden eras and more experience of winning things back in the day. I never like it when I had a comment the other day saying something along the lines of, if George Graham had this squad, we'd have won the league. And I'm like, no, we wouldn't. No, he wouldn't. George Graham was from a different time, a different era, and football was different. The sport was different. Different players back then that suited him. George Graham wouldn't be winning anything with this team. It's not his team. You know, it's a completely different period in the sport. It doesn't make sense. I get where people are coming from, but if anything, Arsenal have been one of the best defensive sides, if not the best defensive team in the league this season. So, yeah, the whole bottling term is obviously often used as quite an inflammatory comment to get a reaction, which it has. So I guess it's worked again. Boss Muller says, people remember this is the first defeat of the year in the league, and some want Arteta out. I mean, to be fair, they have emerged from the woodwork. They've been very quiet. I don't get frustrated anymore. I see names in my chat box after defeats or after draws that are never there when we win. Some people are there only when they lose or only when Arsenal draw, because that's who they are as people. You know, that's when they emerge. That's when their energy comes. That's when they really do make themselves known. I don't know why you'd live your life that way. I really don't. I tweeted after the Villa game saying I could never be a pessimist. I just couldn't do it. I could not be a pessimistic person. Imagine how you only get one chance at life. Imagine being pessimistic about it. I know some people say it's a coping mechanism for some. I just couldn't do it. I could not do it. I could not look at every single scenario, every single outcome with a negative lens. I just couldn't. Not at all. And that's why I challenge the views. That's why we challenge the views that come out, because usually they don't have too much weight to them. Let's go. Come on, Yaguna says, what are we expecting Ramsdale to be sold for? Surely there's a decent profit to be made. I think there should be. I think Arsenal should be looking for upwards of £30 million for Aaron Ramsdale, and hopefully we'll get that in the summer. Ian says, you say the Premier League is very competitive. What is the average difference in points between the top two and the rest of the 10 before that? Interesting stat to know. I mean, I don't think that's necessarily a fair way of judging it, because there is gaps between those points in the league. If you don't think that the Premier League is a competitive league, I don't know what to tell you. And it's not a case of looking at the point gap between the top two sides and the rest, because within those different brackets, you've got teams that are so incredibly dominant, of course, but you've got teams that are still further down the table taking points off these big sides on more than a regular occasion, that have spent humongous amounts of money. You know, if you'd have put a side like Aston Villa into certain European leagues this season, it would be curious where they would have finished, you know. Yeah, and you could have said that about Brighton last season, you know, and how competitive they were under Roberto De Zerbi. Less so this season. You could have said about Newcastle last season. If you don't think the Premier League is exceptionally competitive, it's different. I know that people like to call it like a modern-day Bundesliga in some ways, but that's only because of City. It doesn't mean that the rest of the league isn't incredibly competitive, because it is. It doesn't mean that every other team that you play in that league isn't still a big challenge, because it is. Unless you're Manchester City, usually. And that's the difference. But it's still an incredibly competitive league from the perspective of where Arsenal are at as well. Ragaman says, praise Arteta for what exactly? One FA Cup in 5 years. This ain't West Ham. Raise your standards. Oh, there it is. Right, where it is. Get your bingo cards out, people. Hold on, I think I put mine somewhere. Where's my bingo card? Yeah, there it is. Hold on. Raise, stand. Yes, I did write it down. I'm just going to tick that off my Arteta out bingo card. There it is. Sorry, I'm going to continue reading Ragamon's message. If we lose to Bayern on Wednesday and drop more points in the league, then Arteta has to go. Hold on, I think I've got that as well. Arteta has to go. Yes. That's true. I've had Arteta out. Arteta has to go and raise your standards. I've had three. I think they've all come from Ragamon as well. Let's see if he comes out of any more between now and the end of the season. Look, if you want to talk about raising standards, right? You want to talk about raising standards. From the perspective of a person who at 29 years of age has seen Arsenal from the Arsene Wenger golden era all the way through to now, I know what that experience was like in the middle. What I call the wasteland years of Arsenal, where we weren't able to be competitive because we were paying off the stadium, even though I think we could have spent more, we could have invested more smartly. And we probably should have made a decision on Wenger earlier. As a club, we regressed. As a club, we made the wrong decision in appointing Unai Emery. We probably needed to have that wrong appointment to be where we are now. We probably needed to have that mistake in Unai Emery to get to where we are now. But we regressed. And when Arteta took over, he took over a mess. He took over a club without standards, ironically. He took over a club without principles. He took over a club that with a fractured dressing room. It took over a club that had no ambition at all of winning a title. The idea of Arsenal winning a league was entirely unthinkable when Arteta took over this club. No one was speaking about that. The only people who were saying that Arsenal should be winning the league were talking about it because of what Arsenal are as a club. The stature, the size of them, a sleeping giant, Arsenal were often called. And what Arteta has done is he's introduced standards at this football club. He's got rid of the riffraff. He's got rid of the players that didn't fit. He's got rid of the players that didn't want to work to the principles and the expectations of this football club, which is to compete at the highest level as a team. He's gone into the market and for the first time in a decade, addressed problems that we had known and needed addressing for so many years. We were crying out for Arsenal to go and sign Patrick Vieira and Gilberto Silva replacements. And in his first summer, he brought in Thomas Partey. We've been crying out for years for Arsenal to sign a top centre-back. He went out and got Gabriel Magalhaes and turned him into that. We've been crying out for Arsenal to push forwards, to progress, to get back to the top. And the difference between the top today and the top 20 years ago is that it isn't Mourinho's Chelsea at the top. It's not Sir Alex Ferguson's Manchester United at the top. The top of the Premier League today is a team that have had resources like no other since their massive takeover, of course, around the year 2010, and have spent and spent and spent and spent with little to no restrictions when it started. So they have reached a stage now where they can be compliant with FFP, they can be compliant with profit and sustainability regulations because they make so much revenue from what they win now. It's too late. It's too late for those types of restrictions that are battering Forest and battering Everton to have a chance. And that team has the best manager, arguably of all time, in charge. It has bought the best players year on year on year and kept them. And it has been able to sign the best players on top of that and put them on the bench, like Grealish, for instance. Like Riyad Mahrez previously before he left. They've now signed players and brought through players as well, like Foden and Rico Lewis, because they've invested in their youth academy the whole time they've been doing this as well. And they're a side that have just won the treble with the best striker in the world, who's only 20. No, he's only four. He's 4 years old, Erling Haaland. He's still got 20 years ahead of him. They've won the treble with him. And they've got one of the best young players coming through. They've got an amazing squad that is expected to be better. And I'm not even going to mention the stuff that you would like to talk about, but I'm not going to mention that for very obvious reasons. And that is what Arsenal are up against now. And Arteta has taken Arsenal to a place where they are now expected to either beat them or for some, you get sacked. That's the expectation of some. That's what some people say are standards. Now, I disagree with that because I think that's ludicrous. I think it's absolutely hyperbolic and I think it's crazy. The time that will come when Arteta needs to go is if Arsenal regress, if Arsenal go backwards, if Arteta loses it, you know, and it can happen. And if that does happen, the club comes first because nobody is bigger than this football club. Arsenal is the biggest thing to us and there is no one person bigger than it. And if Arteta makes mistakes, if Arteta loses his way, if Arteta goes backwards and subsequently Arsenal go backwards, then a decision needs to be made. But whilst Arsenal are moving in one direction, which is forwards and progressing and being more competitive and continuing to make important decisions in the market and make important decisions that have a direct impact upon our competitivity, that have broken records, that have changed the mould, that have raised the standards, that have meant that we've gone to Anfield and the Etihad and held those teams at bay. And then when they've come to the Emirates, we've put them to the sword and beaten them. That is where I wanted to be. I wanted to be that was competing at the top. I could never be a fan that says, I expect to win those tournaments. I expect to win those trophies, because I don't think I can have that expectation because of the context of what we exist as a club in, upon what the opposition is to us. I could never be that fan. And if you are that fan, I'm probably not the person you want to listen to, because you're never going to see my point of view. And that's absolutely fine. I'm never going to be in your space. I'm never going to be able to get in your headspace, ever. I'm never going to be able to get there. So this probably isn't the place for you if that's the case. But if you're willing to have an open mind and listen, an open mind and discuss things and try to see it from a different point of view, then this is going to be the place for you. This is going to be a place for a conversation we can have. But at the end of the day, the idea of like raise your standards means nothing. They're empty words, because it's in the context of this Premier League of where we sit right now. Raising your standards is, if you don't beat this Manchester City team, you deserve to go. And that's not raising standards. That's insanity. And there's a difference between those two things. Right. Thank you so much for tuning in. Really appreciate your time, as always. I've got to shoot because I've got to go up to Arsenal's training centre and to have a look at the open training session and get the latest information regarding our team. I look forward to hopefully seeing Martin Odegaard involved. We're keeping those fingers crossed that very much he is going to be there. And I'll report back. So you can follow all of that on football.london. Have a fantastic day. Enjoy yourselves. As always, look after yourselves. If you need to take some time away from the club, away from football, please do it. I implore you. I encourage you to do so. Please do help us to reach 1K every single day and help us on our way to that target. And I will be back potentially later on tonight with a preview out of the game against Bayern. But if not, certainly a show tomorrow morning breaking down Mikel Arteta's press conference from this evening as well. Have a brilliant morning, afternoon and evening wherever you happen to be in the world. Stay safe, stay well, stay happy and respectful. And as always, up the Arsenal.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.